So turn with me to Psalm chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11. You want to make sure my mic is sounding okay to everybody's ears. I might get loud today. Psalm 11, verse 1. Let me just say, I was going to preach a nice little message on our founding fathers and their faith and how we came to be a nation and that sort of thing. And that was the direction I was going, and God brought me to a different place. I never come in this pulpit with the intent to offend people, but I think maybe everybody here will be offended at some point in this sermon. I don't mean this in condemnation. I hope you take no condemnation. I'm painfully aware of my own ways that I fall short of everything I'm going to preach today. But I'm just the errand boy, and I can't decide what I want to preach just because I want to preach it. I have orders from headquarters, and so that's what you're going to hear. So Psalm chapter 11, verse 1 says, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." The title of this message is "If the Foundations Are Destroyed." Father, I pray, God, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear. God, let us tremble at the word of God today. Let us see what the Spirit is saying, not just to our nation, but to us in this church and to us as individuals. God, have mercy on us. We need your mercy more than we need anything else in our life. Thank you that you freely give it. In Jesus' name, amen. So God likens a nation to a building. And clearly the most important part of any building is its foundation. If you can undermine and destroy the foundation, you can bring the whole building down. Our nation, if it isn't falling, it's leaning severely because the foundations are being attacked. So what are the foundations? Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." Our country was founded upon the moral and spiritual foundations based upon the Word of God, faith in Almighty God, and principles of law and order, righteousness and justice and good government as one nation under God. It was constructed with certain indispensable materials, and God has blessed us more than any other nation on the face of the earth. In Old Testament, and let me say, I'm a patriot. I've served this country in the military. I love this country. But like Belshazzar in Daniel's times, America has been feasting and full of pride and drunkenness and idolatry. And I'm afraid handwriting is on the wall as it was for Belshazzar. If you remember that story, I won't take the time, but if you go back, Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's great-grandson, and they were living high, and they thought that nothing could ever touch them. And they were feasting one night, and a finger came and wrote on the wall, and here's what it said. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided. And that night, the Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonians. I believe that the materials of the foundation of our country have been, number one, a Bible-believing individual, one who knows what gender he is, who knows what he believes and knows who he believes in. When you're pouring concrete, if you want a strong foundation, you put rebar or steel in it. The Bible-believing individual is the steel in the foundation of our country. The other material is the home. God ordained the family as the basic unit of the society. Without families, and I mean moms, dads, children. I don't mean moms and moms, dads and dads, throuples, couples just cohabitating, but strong, God-centered families. Without those, the social order will collapse. Our founders, unlike the conquistadors of South America, they came and they brought their families to establish God-centered, God-honoring communities based on families. Unlike the lying, critical race theory version of history, most of them were humble, God-fearing, hard-working, Christian anti-slavery people. The other material is the church. Our founders understood Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Not only does a majority of our nation not believe this anymore, I'm afraid a good number in the church seem to have discarded this. The fourth ingredient of our foundation is schools and education. Our pilgrims and Puritan fathers, they established churches everywhere they went, and most of them went to church on Sunday, and then the church building was used as school through the rest of the week to teach, first of all, the Word of God, and then the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. And America became the most literate nation in the world. Just a generation or two ago, our high schools had parking lots full of pickup trucks with guns in the windows and no school shootings, not one. If you believe that shootings are happening because of guns, you probably also believe an AR-15 is an assault rifle, which just says that you extremely lack education. See, the fence arrows are going out already. And the fifth thing is that our governmental system was based upon biblical principles, law and order, the Ten Commandments. In many states just 100 years ago, you couldn't even be elected dog catcher if you weren't a believer that attended church regular. You couldn't be. And some of them had in their constitutions, you had to be a born-again believer in order to hold public office. So the foundations are being destroyed. Not if, they are being destroyed. Satan's wrecking crew is wailing away at our foundations with his sledgehammer. And we are witnessing the end of America as we've known it. E.V. Hill was one of the greatest black preachers that ever lived, in my opinion. And that guy, he's the only person I know who got death threats simultaneously from the KKK and the Black Panthers. And they were always telling him how they're going to kill him, but he just kept preaching. And neither one of them ever were able to do it. When he was a young man, all the preachers would read this passage and they would emphasize the word if. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But it was like this country, this nation is so strong, there's no way the foundations could be destroyed. He said, we thought that nobody would be fool enough to go down and poke holes in the bottom of the boat or go down in the basement and start knocking out the support pillars. It's no more if. All that caused God to bless this land is being deliberately and systematically destroyed. The person that believes the word of God now is ridiculed, canceled, and hated. All you have to do is post or speak out publicly or stand for basic Bible beliefs, and you're guaranteed to be attacked by strangers, what you thought were your friends, and even your family, and even completely cut off. That's happened in our own family. The family has been under attack. We can almost mark it beginning in the 60s. Besides Madeline O'Hare successfully getting prayer and Bible reading kicked out of the schools, and the sexual revolution coming along, one of the worst things that ever happened to this country was Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society, the Welfare Society. And that people, I guess, had good intentions. But before the Great Society, both black and white household had 85 to 90% babies born to two married parents. 85 to 90%. But then the government came and said, we'll give you money and reward you if you're not married. We're going to reward you if you live in sin. Now, 80% of black babies are born to single moms. I don't know the stats on white babies, but I don't think it's very much better. And that's the ones that are being born. Over 60 million babies have been slaughtered since Roe v. Wade. We call murder a choice, and God says, their blood cries out to me from the ground. We talk about the tragedy of racism 150 to 200 years ago, and it was a tragedy, but we ignore the scourge of murdering babies right now in this country. Do you think for a moment God is ignoring it? He is not. People are shaking their fist in God's face and saying, I don't like the way you made me, and I'm going to change it, and I don't care what you think about it. Sexual perversion is being normalized. Let me say that again. It has been normalized. Education centers have become indoctrination centers. We've taught our children there's no value to life. There's no real morals. It's just what you think is good. We let them watch filth, play violent video games. We send them to Caesar schools, and then we are surprised when they turn out to be godless little Romans. Our schools of higher learning, and I put it in quotes, are churning out weak-minded pagans who are protesting for justice when they don't even know what justice is, who want to burn everything down, tear everything down, destroy everything good, and have no clue about what will replace it. Communism, socialism, anarchy are being vomited out of hell in the form of Antifa, BLM, and I'm going to say it, the Democrat Party. Pastor, you can't talk political like that. Really? Who's pushing to defund police? Who is supporting Antifa? Who is supporting Black Lives Matter? Who is turning our cities over to thugs and criminals? Who is destroying our economy? I'm telling you, the true slave masters today aren't dead. They're Democrats. I'm not telling you that all Democrats are evil. I don't believe that. I know Democrats who love God. But I am telling you their agenda is evil. It's not just a different way of looking at things. It's evil. It's against God. It's against the Bible. It's against everything this country was founded on. Okay, that's like five areas of offense. There's more though. This was the most divisive and decisive election since Abraham Lincoln, I believe. And about half of the country, most of them unknowingly, voted for destruction. Doctrines of demons are being taught from many pulpits. Whole denominations are apostatizing from the faith. In 2016, Barna did a survey. 9 out of 10 pastors. This makes me want to weep. 9 out of 10 pastors refused to speak out on controversial topics. Why did they refuse? Big attendance, big programs, big staff, big church, big money. How you measure success is what you protect. You know, I think God read that survey and he looked around and said, well, boys, I think we just need to shut this thing down for a while and see who's really on our team. Amen. 60 to 70% of the population today probably is not in church anywhere and isn't in church most of the time. And while most of them would probably say that they are Christians, I'm here to tell you they're professors and not possessors. The foreign attacks on our nation are increasing. It's pretty clear now that the virus came from the Wuhan laboratory. And not only that, it wasn't accidental. It was on purpose leaking. They purposely wanted it to take our nation. I read last week the Japanese Secretary of Defense went on international TV and said China and Russia are planning a Pearl Harbor-style attack on America. I hope he was just blowing smoke like most politicians do. Islam has made devastating inroads. Most people are clueless. Oh, they believe in God. They're godly people. They're kind of like us. Islam is a political system whose goal is to rule the world. Its MO is to operate under the rights of minorities until they become a majority and then eliminate the rights of the minority. They will live peaceably with you until they outnumber you, and then they will enslave you, heavily tax you, expel you, or kill you. A pastor in West Africa was raised in Islam and converted. A pastor I know went on a missions trip there, and they drove into an area where there was obvious Islamic influence. And he asked this pastor, he said, is Islam a problem here? And the pastor said, oh no, because the church is strong here. Where the church is strong, Islam cannot get a foothold. But beloved, the church is not strong in America. There's a lot of us here, but it's not strong. In Islam, you have to die for your God. In Christianity, your God died for you. We are not compatible with Islam. I love Muslim people, I'd say the majority of Muslims don't even have this mentality. They just want to live their lives, and they're generally pretty good people. But the system of Islam is demonic and destructive. And it's in our country strong. We are like the ship that the Apostle Paul was on to Rome. He said to those that owned the ship and those that were navigating the ship, you better not go that way or the ship is going to sink and everyone's going to die. And they scoffed at him. What do you know? You're just a preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. And so the owners of the ship and the captain of the ship said, we're sailing anyway. And so they did. And of course, they hit the big tsunami storm. And it was so severe that they couldn't control it. They were in danger of capsizing. So they struck the sails. And the scripture says they just let the wind blow them. America has struck the sails and let every wind, except the wind of the Holy Spirit, blow it. And then it got more severe, and so they took all the tackle, everything that made the ship work, and threw it over the side and prayed that they would live to see daylight. What a picture of America right now. But there was a man in the ship down in the hull praying and hearing from God, thank God, who said, you should have listened to me. So now the ship is lost, but you can still be saved. Honestly, I don't know. I don't really think that this ship called America can actually be saved. I pray and I will work for it to be. But now it's about salvaging the souls of the people. Now it's about getting everybody into lifeboats, not saving the ship. Christianity will survive without America, but America will not survive without Christianity. Today I'm speaking to you as a watchman on the wall. Ezekiel 3:17 said, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. My hands are going to be free of blood by the end of this sermon. So that brings us to the point of the sermon. What can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe we must restore foundations and prevent further destruction wherever we can. But our text gives us four very clear things about what the righteous actually can do. Number one, put all your trust in the Lord and be sure. That first verse in our text said, in the Lord I put my trust. In the Lord I put my trust. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're born again? Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you have a building not made with hands eternal in the heavens? Hebrews 11:10 says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Is that the city you're waiting for? There is only one way, and his name is Jesus. You either belong to him or you belong to the devil. There's nothing in between. There's no neutrality. Well, I don't belong to either one, Pastor Tom. You're wrong. You do. Well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. If I am to be righteous, it is only through my union with Christ. If I am united with Christ, I live in Christ. It's a life you live every day. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I had to dig the gold of the truth out of the mountain of God and His Word myself. If you had a mom or dad who taught you the Word and raised you to know Jesus, and you turned from Him because you think you're smarter now, woe is you. You not only bring shame to your father and break your mother's heart, but you bring misery to your eternal soul. And I'm sorry, but the Word of God calls you a fool. He does not. He loves me. Yes, He does. And He loves you so much, He says, I'm telling you to repent, you foolish person. I'm going to start preaching in a minute. See, I failed in Adam, but I was redeemed in Christ. I still believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that He lived a perfect, holy, sinless life, that at the end of that life, He went to the cross and was crucified for my sins. I put Him on that cross, and that He was the infinite God-man, 100% God, 100% man, that He rose on the third day. He ascended up into heaven, and He's coming back to get me and then judge this Christ-rejecting world. And I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Do you? Secondly, the first thing the righteous can do is put all your trust in the Lord and be sure. The second thing you can do is put on the whole armor of God and fight. Fight. Psalm 11, 1 and 2 in the New Living Testament. Translation, I mean. I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. Beloved, I need to tell you, there's no place to run and hide. The devil can get in through your keyhole. The only choice is to stand, turn, and fight. We don't run. We stand and we fight. We don't yell from the grandstands. We get in the game. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, you don't put armor on to go to sleep, to get back in the bed. You don't put armor on to impress somebody. You don't put armor on to just go to church. You put armor on to report for duty. The Holy Spirit is saying to the church today, all leaves are canceled. No furloughs are being issued. The ship is under attack and it's all hands on deck. Every ex-member, every oversleeper, every retired, every inactive duty, every active reserve, you're all being called up. The devil's having no trouble getting his crowd to turn up. Is he? If sinners are to be saved, then sinners who have been saved by grace have to report for duty. You either get on a war footing with the army or you're going to be trampled underfoot. I'm sorry, this is probably not a goosebump feel-good sermon today. But you're hearing the truth. This is not a time to shrink back, but to stand up and remember what we're standing on. We put on our armor and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we use it offensively. I have never in my entire life had a situation that the Word of God didn't speak to. Sometimes it makes me cry. Sometimes it makes me shout. Sometimes it gives me great peace. Sometimes it gives me great joy. Sometimes it gives me great grief. Sometimes it strengthens me and gives me courage and comfort. But always, it directs me. We must, and I underline the word must, we must engage spiritual battles. We must. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was murdered by Adolf Hitler because he wouldn't shut his mouth, he stood up to the sickness that was happening in Germany in World War II. He said, "The church was silent when it should have cried out." I was happy to see the other day that when the California governor shut down churches, that finally, in spite of his threats, a number of them, churches that aren't, I disagree with theologically in many ways, some I agree with, but a number of them finally saw what was happening and they said no. The governor said he was going to fine them thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they said, "No, we're having church. You can't shut the church down. We are essential business." And so the threats came hot and heavy. They were excoriated in the national media. And the governor backed down. And praise God, a Supreme Court upheld some of that. But our trust is not in those guys. That's why it's on the top of their agenda to destroy the church, because the demons controlling these individuals are afraid of a courageous church. It's at the top of their agenda to destroy it or neuter it. They've done the neutering pretty good. I'm sure I'm on more than one list somewhere. I didn't sign up for it, but I'm sure I am. But guess what? I'm secure in Christ. I'm not living in any kind of fear. We're not fighting against people in our society. We love people. We're fighting for people who are headed for a horrific eternity.